So we're continuing with Shemaiah's chapter 38, which is the continuation of Bezalel creating all of the vessels, and more particularly, it, according to the logic of whoever made the chapters, we're moving now to the outdoor vessels. So until now we had what's called the Kelim HaPnimiyim, the inside, the things that were inside the Mishkan, which is the Urim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaKedoshim in the Mishkan. Now we're moving outside in the Chutzah, really, where there are two other things called the Mizbeach HaOla. Here, earlier it was just called the Mizbeach, and the other one was called the Mizbeach HaKedoshim. Here it's the opposite, or not the opposite, we have Mizbeach HaKedoshim and Mizbeach HaOla. The Mizbeach for the Karban HaOla, for the Tamidim, which is outside. This separation of the outdoor Kailim and the inside is not something that is actually in the Pasuk here. It is in some sense in the Pasuk earlier in Parshas Terumah. Because in Parshas Terumah, the Kir and the Mizbeach, and then the Mizbeach HaKedoshim is entirely not in the right place in Parshas Terumah. It's only in Parshas Kesisa later. And the Mizbeach also was later. But here it actually seems to belong together with all the other Kailim. So I'm not sure that this person that made the chapters is correct. But in any case, I talked about Mizbeach HaOla. And more or less, again, it's copy-paste from what we had in the command, in the mitzvah, where it said what you should do. Here it just said that he did it, just changing the verb from future, from imperative to present, to past, sorry. There are some minor differences, as always, but I don't think there's any differences, any meaningful differences here. We have the Mizbeach, it's 5x5, it's square, it's 3 ames tall, it has 4 karnaim, it's covered in the choshes and copper. It has all its kailim, all its like serving tools with utensils that are used with it, also made of copper. It has something called a michbar, not entirely clear what that is, some kind of net around it made of the choshes, like a kind of skirt for the Mizbeach. It has rings to carry it with, and it has the beams, like the badim, which with they are carried, also covering copper. This is actually maybe a comment. We discussed how at this time where it says that everything was made, it doesn't say what they were made for. In the sense, it doesn't say the avodah that was done on each thing. Same by the Mizbeach, it doesn't say what the avodah of the is done on the Mizbeach. But when it comes to the badim, the carrying sticks with which it's carried, it does say the older kailim that these are in order to carry them with. But that seems to make sense because this is part of the description of the kailim, and maybe even they're already starting to carry it because they have to carry it into the Mishkan or carry it around when they're making it and so on. It's not part of the Avodah, it's part of the description of the Kailim itself. Okay, so we have that, and we have also the description of it being done Nevuv Luchos, whatever that means. It probably means that it was hollow inside. So that's the story of the Mizbeach. Then we have the story of the Kir and the Kan of the Kir, the base for the Kir. That this is, again, much shortened from the previous description, although in the previous description didn't either give any measurements for the kir. So the kir is one of the kailim that it just assumes that we know what a kir is, and doesn't say how tall to make it, doesn't say anything about how it's set up or anything like that. It just says it's a kir made out of copper and has a base also. But one interesting thing, and a very interesting thing that is added here as part of the story, it doesn't belong earlier, right? Earlier we did have at length the mitzvah of the kir, right? How the kohanim should wash themselves when they come into the Mishkan from the kir. All of that is missing here, just like all the parts of the avodah are missing here. But what something else is added here, which is nothing similar is added to any of the kailim, is what the kir specifically was made out of. So we know that the Mishkan was made out of these donations, and we also had a sort of detailed list earlier when the people brought the donations, who brought the gold, the silver, the copper, what these things were made out of. It didn't have these descriptions here. For example, when we discussed the egel, which was made from donated gold, we did have a clear description of where this gold came from, how it was supposed to come from the nizme azov, the rings in their ears, and the ears of their wives and children, which maybe didn't happen in the end if you read the diak that the Medrash made of that. But in any case, that we have that there. We do not have that in any of the previous descriptions of the Zohar, the Kesef, and the Choshes that they brought. It doesn't say like that these were originally jewelry or what they were. It just says whoever had gold or silver were bringing it. The only time where we have something like this, actually it does say, I'm wrong. It does say for the gold, it says that it was made at, there's a list of different jewelry that it was made from. For the silver and the copper, there isn't anything like that. The only time we have that in the other things is the Erevah Dinei Choishes, and it says explicitly, what we don't have in any other place is which kind of original thing the precious metal was in, the which of that was made into which kli. It doesn't say like the Urim was made from the most precious tachshit, from the most precious jewelry that was brought, or anything like that. We don't have anything like that. All gold is considered equal. All silver is considered equal. The only thing that is not considered equal is the nechoshes. It says that nechoshes was made b'marois hatzoivois hashetzavu pesach ha'almed. This literally means something like, with the marois means the mirrors of the gatherers who have gathered, and the feminine gatherers who have gathered in the, at the entrance of the Elmed. Tzovos is like the same language we have, Tzova. Tzova means translated as an army, but maybe more literally something like a gathering, like we have Tzva Shemaim, right? All the stars gather together, the mass. So maybe we could read it, we could translate something like the mass, to have massed at the entrance of the Elmed. And so this is a description both of what it was made out of, so like which, what was the original thing, what was the original thing that it was, and also who was the donor. We did have some descriptions of who was the donor, the Nesiim that brought certain things, but this is the only time we have besides for that who the donor was. And there's many different speculations and the different interpreters what this might mean. The most simple pshat is what Ramban says in his third pshat, that apparently just like we had earlier, there's Zov Toir, Kesef Toir. There's different levels, different grades of the metals. You know, specifically the menorah is repeated several times. It's made out of pure gold. All the other things also are pure gold, but maybe the menorah was even more pure. There's different levels, different grades. In the same way, the kir seems to have been made out of a different grade of copper than the other things, and that's probably why this is mentioned, because you can imagine that a mirror needs to be made out of a pretty good grade of copper, so it should be shiny, it has to be polished, so it should be able to function as a mirror, and probably that's why these madais of the tzoyva, so of course, where do you have mirrors? So women have mirrors, and they were women that were coming. They all came to give their donation, and these mirrors, the kind of copper they made was what they made for the kirit, so it should be this kind of beautiful copper versus the other parts of copper, which we'll see in the end of this chapter, the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. It's just a list of copper for the nails, for all of technical things that don't have to be as beautiful. So that's probably a simple meaning. So that's the end of the Kailim. Now we have Bezalel making the Chotzer. Chotzer means the you don't make a courtyard, right? It's the gate around the courtyard, also made in a similar way to the Mishkan. Only here, it's more clear that the Amudim, it's more maybe we could say more similar to the Peroichas and the Musach and the Mishkan, where there are these beams, Amudim, and there are Kloim, or some hanged fabrics or something, made of Shesh Marzar, so it gives us the material for the fabric, linen, and hanged onto these beams, and also they have vovim, so like hooks to hang them with, chashukim, which is some kind of other technical part to hang it with, or maybe just something for beauty around the amudim, and so on. And it describes the measurements of these. There is some interesting thing that I don't know the meaning of, where in the mitzvah, when I talked in Parshas Terumah about the chotzer, we had twice all the measurements. So there was measurements, so you could read there were 100 amma of kloim for the two longer sides, right, the right and the left side, with 20 amudim for each and 20 adonim for the amudim, and the same for the left side. And the back there were 50, and then the front is 15 and 15, and then 15 left open for the more than 15 left open, right, 20 left open for the door. And that's one description. Besides that, it gives a description in like numbers and full Amis numbers, just like Oirech, Roichav, and also Koima. So how wide and how long the Chotzer was, and also how tall it was, meaning how tall these curtains, or however exactly we want to describe them, were around. So that's missing entirely here. It doesn't say, it's obvious that it was 100 by 50, but it doesn't say that it was 100 by 50. It just, if you calculate, you see that it's 100 by 50. And therefore, we're also missing the height. It doesn't say that it was 5 amas or 3 amas high, the chatzar. So that's missing here. I don't know why. In any case, there's also a different, slightly different order, where there's like these generalities, where it says that everything, all the kloim were shesh, all the adunim were nechoshes, all the hooks and the chashukim were kesef, they were covered and their heads with silver. and so on. So here we have a more clear like summary at the end of the part. Over there it was more mixed into it. Here also some of more mixed in. So I don't know if these things are meaningful or what to make of them. That's the story with the chutzah. Then we have the story of the musach and the shara chutzah, similar to how we had a musach and the shara mishkan. Again, there is 20 amas wide, as we said, there's 20 amas left, 5 amas tall, and set on 4 amudim. So we can see that the calculation is something like there is 4 amudim, each amud supports like 5 amas of kloim in between. And that's the story of the building the Mishkan. This is where it ends, and this is where Parshas Vayakhel ends and Parshas Pekudei starts. Whoever organized the chapters thought that we should continue a little more and have like this summary of, in other words, he saw the list of Pekudei HaMishkan, which is the lists of who made it, again, to like confirm that Bezalel and Eliav made it, and the amounts of the precious metals. There isn't amounts for anything else, but the precious metals, the gold, silver, and copper, how much it was and what was done with it. That is like, to him, it was the end. Really, we could see that it's another thing. It's not really like you could formulate this at the end as the end of the creating of the Mishkan, but and then it talks about the creating of the Bigdei Kohanah. But I'm not sure that that's the most correct way. It's really a separate thing. And whoever separated the Parshas Vayakhel Pekudei understood that this is a new beginning. Therefore, start Parshas Pekudei here. Anyways, we will just describe what it is. There's like the header Ele Pekudei HaMishkan. These are the countings of the Mishkan, which Moshe counted. So there's like a confirmation. Moshe was in charge. He was the chief accountant, so to speak. Someone has to take charge whenever there's a great donation effort. Someone has to know, make sure to be responsible, to be really the one who's reliable, to know that there's account, there's people taking it and what it's going for. So that's Moshe. And we get also the heads of everything else. So we get the Levim headed by Issamar, the son of Aharon. It's not clear what the Levim did. We'll probably see later in Parshas Sefer Bamidbar, really, the elaboration of this, how Issamar was in charge of the carrying of everything. And then, of course, we have the confirmation that Bezalel did everything and Eliav did everything. And again, the list of the, here, a little shorter than we had before, list of 3 arts that they were good at, Chorash, V'choshe, V'roikem, and the materials that they were didn't with. It's interesting, but I'm not going to get into that at length. And then what we get is there's this list, the list of the amounts of gold that there were. It was 29 kikar and 730 shekel of gold. The list of amount of silver, 100 kikar and 1775 shekel of silver. The silver is different because the silver says that this was donated half a shekel or a beka for each head. This connects us with Parshas Kisisa, where it said that each person was commanded to bring a half a shekel of silver for precisely 600,000, 605,550. Therefore, if you count it all together, you end up with 100 kikar. Those were for the 100 adonim that were needed, precisely 100. If you count them up, you see that there was 100 exactly needed. And then you left over with 1775 shekel, which were for the other copper things that we have discussed, the hooks and the headers, the like head coverings, sort of like hats for the amudim, and the chishakoisa for the chashukim for the amudim, which seems to be some kind of design that was on the amudim, maybe like a gartel kind of thing. And then we have the list of nechoshes, 70 kikar nechoshes and 2,400 shekel. So it's interesting that there's less nechoshes. There was the most silver. Seems like nechoshes is considered, although in the order it's always nechoshes is after kesef. It's, if you count up the numbers, maybe the reason there's a lot so much silver is because of this shekel bekel agoyles business. So they got a lot of silver. Or maybe nechoshes, as we saw earlier with the story of the Maris Tzivos, at least some grades of nechoshes were considered more precious and there were not so much available. And it gives a long list of everything made of the nechoshes. The adonim for the doors, the mizbeach, the parts of the mizbeach, the adonim for the chutzah, all the yistos, all the nails for the chutzah, for the mishkan. That's the end of the Nechoshes. And then we have not an accounting, but just a general statement of the fabrics, Tcheles, Agum, and Telas Shuni, which are the main fabrics. It doesn't talk about the Sheish here, or of the Oiros, any of the skins or anything else. And it just says that they made Bigdei Srod. It's not clear if that means itself the Bigdei Kohanah, but it also says that they made Bigdei Kodesh for Aharon as God commanded. And then this is why the chapter, I already moved you into chapter 39, because whoever caught up the chapters thought that belongs to that, but really it's just the end of this accounting, I think.